This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, oil producers in this country pumped an average of 8.7 million barrels of oil per day last week. I mentioned that on the way to saying that it was not always thus. It was especially not always thus back in the 1970s, the days of the Arab oil embargoes, the after effects of which we are still coming to grips with today. Meg Jacobs writes about that period in her new book. It's called Panic at the Pump, The Energy Crisis and the Transformation of American Politics. Meg, it's good to have you on.
Nice to be here.
October 1973-ish. Tell me what was happening.
That was the start of the Arab embargo when Arab members of OPEC placed an embargo on the U.S. in response to the U.S. support of Israel in the Yom Kippur War, and that triggered a shortage in the United States, leading to what I call a panic at the pump.
Yeah, it actually was a panic. I mean, people were thinking about rationing. There were new dealers still in Washington saying we have to completely reallocate how we do the economy. I mean, the politico-economic after effects of this thing were and are amazing.
They're hard to imagine today. Richard Nixon, a Republican, was in the White House, but he faced a Democratic Congress, and the default solution to any problem was more government. So amazingly, the response to the shortage and to the rising prices were to put in place government allocations and price controls. And the number one demand, which in effect works out, is to roll back the prices at the pump, something that's unimaginable to us today.
And it's Republicans who are putting this into effect. And they were looking at each other going, are you kidding me that it's us?
Yeah. So you have, for example, the first ever energy czar is William Simon. Mm-hmm. And Richard Nixon puts him into place. And here's this guy who's a conservative who has to make decisions whether the Daytona 500 should go on as planned or it should be the 450.
Which is remarkable. And there was talk and in reality in those years of dark Christmas trees, of thermostats being reset, of the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, oh, by the way.
Which Americans hated more than anything else. To them, this really symbolized the end of the America that they knew. The car, which had been the symbol of American success and greatness and prosperity, now became a symbol of its decline. Not only did they have to drive slower on the roads, but they had to wait in mile-long lines, sometimes waiting so long that they even ran out while online.
There's a great quote in this book. If Vietnam and Watergate taught us that our government lied, the energy crisis taught us that our government didn't work. It was ineffectual, basically.
That was especially true during the second oil shock in the summer of 1979, when Americans found themselves lining up once again. And this was particularly horrifying because Jimmy Carter, who was president, a Democrat, had promised to solve the energy crisis. And here Americans were having this repeat experience. And it really did trigger this loss of faith in government. So there were bumper stickers saying, Carter, kiss my gas, and even more extreme outpourings of unrest. So, in fact, in Levittown, Pennsylvania, there was a full-on gas riot where local citizens put set cars on fire, chanting more gas, more gas.
And there were economic repercussions, too, from this whole period, right? I mean, inflation, which brought us Paul Volcker. There was fear of and talk of deficits. I mean, things happened economically because of what happened in October 1973.
Yeah, I mean, the whole decade became defined by inflation, and the energy crisis seemed the most salient, visible outcome. You could sort of see how prices were going up daily by the price placards at your local gas station. It used to be the case that there were not enough digits on the gas station pumps so that they actually, when the gas prices went above a dollar, they had to start pricing at the half gallon.
We now are a huge oil and energy producer. The Saudis are looking to get out of the oil business, for crying out loud. Help me make sense of that.
Yeah, I mean, our situation seems like we've finally solved this problem of energy dependence, if you define dependence as dependence on imports from abroad, and that's largely thanks to the fracking revolution. But history has also shown us that the oil market is volatile over time and unpredictable over time. And so while it seems that there's been a revolution in production in this country, you're never quite sure what the future is going to bring.
Panic at the Pump by Meg Jacobs, who teaches at Princeton. Meg, thanks very much.
Thanks so much for having me.